We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Ray of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig, and we welcome you. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege we have of presenting this gospel broadcast to this precious people today. And we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will be able to use us and use this broadcast to make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. We're so thankful that your love is extended to one and to all, and that Jesus died for all. So we pray that you'll take our congregation, manifest your love and mercy and grace to them, help them with their burdens, problems, and cares. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In sorrow I wandered, my spirit oppressed, but now I am happy, securely I rest. From morning till evening glad carols I sing, and this is the reason I walk with a King. I walk with a King, hallelujah. I walk with a King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with a King. For years in the fetters of sin I was bound. The world could not help me, no comfort I found. But now, like the birds and the sunbeams of spring, I'm free and rejoicing, I walk with a King. I walk with a King, hallelujah. I walk with a King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with a King. O soul near despair in the lowlands of strife, look up and let Jesus come into your life. The joy of salvation to you He would bring. Come into the sunlight and walk with the King. I walk with a King, hallelujah. I walk with a King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with a King.
What a blessed privilege that is, to be able to walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus Christ has made this possible for each and every one of us through His sacrificial death on the cross and His resurrection the third day. Salvation is offered to one and all. And what a blessed privilege, I say, to walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We'd like to invite you to visit our webpage, where you can listen to a number of our broadcasts and read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, And also there are other messages that you'll find. You can also join us in our Sunday services, for our services are broadcast live over the internet. Our morning worship service begins 20 minutes before 11 Eastern Time, and our evening service begins at 6. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. Our subject for today's broadcast, a look at the Lord's Prayer. And we look at John chapter 17 to find the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father. For we read in the first verse of John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said. So I want to look at a number of verses of Scripture in this 17th chapter, which has the Lord's Prayer, and call your attention to some things that Jesus said in his prayer to the Father. And first of all, we notice in verse 2 that Jesus said that the Father had given him power over all flesh. Jesus told the disciples shortly before he ascended back to heaven that all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so Jesus says here, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And then we notice in verse 3, where Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life should be of interest to everyone in our congregation today. But there are certain conditions to be met, and there's ways to go about obtaining eternal life. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There is only one true and living God, and there is only one Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only through the love of God and the gift of his dear Son and the giving of his Son's life that it is possible for us to have eternal life. Eternal life cannot be obtained any other way. Regardless of what many in the religious world would have you to believe, there is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so eternal life is obtained by knowing the true and the living God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. And we read in verse 6 another thought, those who were given spiritual life have kept thy word. Notice verse 6, I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So if we are going to have eternal life, we must not only know the true and living God and his Son Jesus Christ, but we must also live in obedience to his word. We cannot have eternal life, we cannot have God, we cannot have his Son, and live any way we want to live. Notice where Jesus said in this sixth verse that God had given them out of the world. You cannot continue a life of sinful things, living in the world, following after the things of the world, and have eternal life. We must obey the word of God to have eternal life. And we're told by the Apostle John in 1 John that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so God has given Jesus Christ, his disciples, his followers, by taking them out of the world. Now we notice down in verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Yes, we must believe that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. But notice also in this eighth verse, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Back in the first chapter of St. John, we're told that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so those who are going to be true disciples must receive the word of God, and they must live the word out in their life from day to day. Now, the next verse I'd like to call your attention to is verse 9. I pray for them. Jesus here is saying that he is praying for his disciples. I pray not for the world. Now, he's talking here at this particular point in his prayer. He is not praying for the unsaved. The word world here is to be understood as the unsaved people of the world. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. At this particular point in Jesus' prayer, he was praying for the disciples. And he said that God had given them to him out of the world. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world, for they are thine. So Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples, and they were already out of the world. They had already been saved from the world and from the love of the world. And I'd like for you to keep that thought in mind as we move on here, studying various verses of Scripture in the Lord's Prayer in St. John 17. Now in verse 11, Jesus said, he prayed for his disciples that they be one as we are. He wants his disciples, he wants his followers, he wants his believers to be one, even as he and the Father are one. And surely we will all agree there is no division between God the Father and God the Son. And he prayed for his disciples that they be one, even as he and the Father are one. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Also, let us notice verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So Christ wants his disciples to be one, and he also wants them to have joy in living the Christian life. And there is joy in the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you faint in the day of adversity, your joy is small, it's limited. So Jesus wants his disciples to be happy. He wants them to be joyful. The late D.S. Warner wrote a hymn, "Who but the Christian is happy and free, filled with the glory of God? None in creation so happy as he, washed and redeemed in his precious blood. Of all the people in the world who should be joyful and happy, it is those who have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and have eternal life through Jesus Christ." Now let us drop down to verse 16 and read, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So I want to again emphasize the fact that Jesus' disciples had been saved out of the world. As long as a person is living in sin, he's still a part of the world that Jesus is talking about. So you have to be saved out of the world. And when you are saved from the love of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus Christ was not a worldling. He was not a sinner. He was not a partaker of the sinful things of the world. No, he lived a spotless, holy life. And he prayed for his disciples, who they had been saved out of the world, that they might be free to live the Christian life and be obedient to him and keep his word. Now notice verse 17. Let me read verses 16 and 17 together. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, there are those in the religious world who would have you to believe that you are sanctified whenever you are converted. And I realize the word sanctification has various meanings, but I want you to notice here, as I read verses 16 and 17, These disciples had been saved out of the world, and they were not of the world, even as Christ was not of the world. And yet Jesus prayed for them to be sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You are not sanctified from the love of the world. You are saved from the love of the world. Sanctification, as Jesus was praying here for his disciples, is not salvation from the world. Sanctification includes the eradication of the depraved nature, our native depravity, and it also involves the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened to the disciples there on the day of Pentecost. Whenever the Spirit of God came upon them, they were truly sanctified. Now, of course, the word sanctification also carries with it the thought of separation, and it also carries with it the thought of holiness. And Jesus told us in what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, that the pure in heart shall see God. And so sanctification, purity of heart, holiness, is the experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the eradication of depravity. Now let us look at verse 20. In verse 20, we read, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word." You know, that verse of Scripture should thrill every Christian's heart who is listening to this broadcast service today. For Jesus not only prayed for his disciples who were there with him at that time, but Jesus also prayed for you, and he prayed for me. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." I believe on Jesus Christ through the word of God, through the words of the apostles, and Jesus prayed for me. What a consolation, what a beautiful thought that is, to know that our Savior prayed for us. I think that every heart should be encouraged when they think about how Jesus Christ prayed for them. Again, let us notice verses 21 and 23. Jesus prayed that all his disciples be one, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. It is sad that the religious world, the professed Christian religious world, is so divided. If you notice the scriptures that I have just read, Jesus prayed that his disciples would be one so that the world would believe that the Father had sent him. A divided Christian world, supposedly, does not convey that message to the world. It is said that E. Stanley Jones, years ago, was talking to Mahatma Gandhi in India, trying to convince him of Christianity. And Mahatma Gandhi is supposed to have said to him, "I would like to have your Christ, but I do not want your Christianity." Why did he say that? Because of the divided and confused state of those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus prayed for his disciples that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Divide and conquer, divide and conquer. That's the way the literal armies of the past have worked. Divide and conquer. And the devil has done the very same thing in the religious world. Divide and conquer, and confuse and bring strife, and the world looks on and says, "If that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it." But notice also in verse 23, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Just think of that. God loves us even as he loved Jesus Christ. What wonderful love that is. No wonder the Apostle John said in his first epistle of St. John that, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What wonderful love the Father has for us. Now, Jesus revealed the Father and his love. We read in verses 25 and 26, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now I've saved verse 24 for my closing thought. And let us back up now to verse 24 and read, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So again, Jesus Christ prayed for us. And in this portion of the script of the prayer, he prayed that we would be able to be with him and be with him eternally. Yes, Jesus Christ came so that we could know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son and thus know eternal life. And Jesus prayed that we would be able to be with him in eternity, in heaven, and that we would be able to behold the glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. Just think of it. No man has ever looked on the face of God, but in eternity we will be able to behold him. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Yes, beloved, and Jesus Christ made it possible. Jesus wants us to be with him. And I am thankful that through his shed blood, he made it possible for us to be with him eternally. Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We would be thankful if you would take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to today's broadcast, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Deep in the night, the angels